Gospel of John, chapter 8. Are you ready?
Amen.
Thank you. Yes, the adults come through. And you know what? Isn't that a shame? That some people who have such great opportunity and potential fail to rise up and are satisfied with less than the best. Can I get a witness on that? And as we talk about the truth of God, we are talking about what? The best that there is. Amen? All right, so we're going to talk about that truth. Bible says, John chapter 8, verses 26 to 32, I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. And to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Apparently, there were some fake disciples going around. There might be fake disciples right here in this room today. Can I get a witness on that? Yes, and how can you tell if there's fake and real disciples? How can you discern between the two? If you hold on to Jesus' teaching, then you're really a disciple. And when you're really a disciple, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are mighty, and Lord, knowing that you have freedom for us. Knowing, Lord, that you have great plans for these young men sitting here, Lord, for old and young alike, that you would guide us into all truth, Lord, that we might experience your freedom and your deliverance from the lies of the world. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would indeed guide us out of the lie and guide us into the truth. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
All righty. Oh, Fake and Cafe, or Escuela Dominical. Looks like you guys are indeed leaving, so you guys might leave. The work of truth. I have a work. We have a work. Joe and I and Leanne, to a degree, have been doing a work on our Carmen Ghia Restoration Project. And as Mike Seward said earlier, that ain't your car. Yes, that is not our car. That is the dream of our car. It will be orange like that, shiny like that, nice like that, and pretty like that. Now, it looks more like that. But it even doesn't even look that good. All right? And we are working on this thing. We're doing the body and the motor and all this stuff. And I tell you, I'm stumped. Because I'm working on this motor, and it started working. We put a new cylinder did a ring job on it, fired up, except there was fire coming out all over the place. Now, that's less than the best, amen? When you got fire coming out of your motor, you know, you got fire shooting out the back, you know, little rubber gaskets, you know, lighting up. Oh, no, that's a definite deterrent to sale. Yes, oh, yeah. Don't worry about that fire there, sir. There's a nice paint job on that thing, though. And so, I'll fix that, and I put this gasket. Now, it won't even run, man. And I don't know what's going on. I'm trying all this stuff. And here's the thing. I've got another motor. It's like Joe and I had it in there. We were testing it out. It runs. I've driven the thing out. We pulled that motor out, put this motor in so we could fix it. And you know what? I don't want to give up on this new motor. It has totally brought our project to a screeching halt. And some of us have things in our lives that bring us to a screeching halt. And we just don't want to give up. Title of today's message is The Work of Truth. Because when you get to truth, because the truth on this motor might be it ain't never going to work. And I'm just holding back and holding back, holding back everything, and it ain't never going to work. And there's some stuff in your life that is never going to work for you. Can I get a witness on that? There are lies of this world. There is lies of the enemy that you have grabbed onto and you are unwilling to let go on. And it is stopping the progress of your life. And the Lord would speak to your heart this morning and say, it's time to give up on the lie. And it's time to move into truth. Now, I got this work theme today because of Labor Day. And Labor Day is a celebration of the economic and social contributions of labor. That's what it says. If you look up Labor Day, law signed into law by Grover Cleveland, there, I got that right, in 1894. Anybody know that? Signed into law 6 days after the putting down of the Pullman strike. You say, what is the Pullman strike? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's the Pullman. I had some pictures up here. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do this now. Pullman Palace Car Company. They made Pullman cars. And there was all kinds of dining cars, railroad cars. And what happened is they went on strike because their wages were being reduced. Because, you know, 1894, you got cars coming up, there are shifts going on, all this stuff is going on. And so they said, we're not going to have that. Pullman, Illinois was the place where they made all these cars, and it was what they call a factory town. And realistically, we don't have factory towns anymore, but the factory built the town called Pullman, right? They owned the stores, they owned the houses, they owned everything. So their workers paid them rent. Their workers bought their food from them, bought all their clothes from them, bought everything from the Pullman stores. And they were dropping their wages, but not dropping the rent. Dropping their wages, but not dropping the price of, I guess they weren't buying gas yet, they weren't having no cars yet. But all the stuff was staying high and they're dropping their wages. And so they went on strike, and 125,000 strikers, people went on strike from 27 or 29 different railroad companies. And they brought freight and passenger transportation to a standstill west of Detroit. Now, do you know where Detroit is? I mean, they call it the Midwest. I'll tell you what, from here, it looks east to me. You know what I mean? I mean, Pastor Paul and Ann used to live in Ohio. It's east, man. I mean, it's on like the East Coast. Almost. It's like by the Great Lakes, right? Everything from the Great Lakes this way, screeching halt because of this Pullman strike. The government put it down with 12,000 Army troops. And thousands of federal marshals. They killed 13 strikers and injured 57 others. And 6 days later, Grover Cleveland signs into law Labor Day to recognize the input, economic and social, of labor. It was a payoff. It's a lie. God says, too many of us are buying the lie of this world. We're taking a little payoff to continue on in structures and situations in our lives that where we will never find victory. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take one last shot at this motor, and Joe and I are going to pull that thing out, put that other motor in, and move on down the road. When we are working on truth, when you come to accept truth in your life, there are some things that are in your life right now that are barriers to progress for you. The Lord would reveal them to you this morning so that you might find fullness and that you might find victory. I don't want to scrap that motor. That motor's worth $500. And the Lord's going, the Lord knows. He could be going, you're crazy, man. That motor ain't never going to run. You need to junk that motor. You got some stuff that's junk in your life. You say, but it's so valuable. I cannot give up on this. And he's saying it is weighing you down. It is time to give up, give that up, and it's time to move closer to me. Amen?
Amen.
All right, title of today's message is The Work of Truth, and Jesus Did It, and we're going to talk about Jesus' work on the cross today. Amen?
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 Amen.
All right. Let's see. I got a little project for you guys after church. Okay, I didn't get a response there. All right, John 5:36. I have a testimony weightier than that of John. And that's Jesus talking, all right? He's talking about John the Baptist. For the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me. Actions speak louder than words. Amen?
Amen?
Now, these boys over here, they can say all kinds of good stuff later on, but their actions are speaking pretty loudly. My son might want to do some little shopping trip or something. Well, we might have to do a little work later on. Why? Actions speak louder than words. Can I get a witness on that? Jesus says, you take a look at what I'm doing. And Jesus had a job to do. Who gave him that job? The Father had given him a job to do. Let's read about that. John 3:17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. How many of you are happy about that?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy about that. He said, but God the Father sent God the Son into the world to save the world. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
But that plan, that work met resistance over and over and over again. Why would they want to resist the plan of salvation? Why would they want to resist the work of Jesus on the cross to transform our lives? The reason is they were offended by his message. Because he says, your motivation and the focus of your life is all wrong. Now, how many of you want to come running to that message? Oh, really? Yes, tell me where my motivation is wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong in my life. It's like, no, I'm doing pretty good. I can make this motor run. I can find victory here. And Jesus says, there's stuff in your life you are never going to find victory in. And rather than heed the truth, they sought to own the lie and to make everything look better. Try to make the lie live. Trying to find victory in the lie. How hard have you worked trying to make the lie live in your life? Have you discovered yet that it's never, ever going to work? You're never, ever going to find fullness in your life as you buy the lie of this world. Can I get a witness on that? Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Now, young people who don't want to give me a witness, I'm glad you do. Because you see, there's a penalty associated with that. That witness over here is from wisdom that they have learned that you have not yet learned. That the lie is still attractive to you. Some of you, the lie is still attractive. I can still make this work. I can still make my own victory. The Lord says, you aren't going to find your victory apart from me. Amen?
Amen?
The work of Jesus was more than a message. He came to make a sacrifice. Because the difference between what Jesus was describing, the difference between how Jesus wants you to live your life and how you're actually living it, how the religious leaders of Jesus' day were living their lives and how Jesus was asking them to live. The difference between those two things we call sin. And sin has a price. And Jesus' work was to bring the message of the kingdom of God, to bring the message of his Father, and to go to the cross and pay that price. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. We're going to talk about paying the price. We're going to go back to Leviticus chapter 16, 29 to 30. And this is the Day of Atonement. How many of you have ever heard of the Day of Atonement? How many of you have ever heard of Yom Kippur? That is the Day of Atonement. And amazingly enough, in 2012, Yom Kippur is September 25th and 26th because it starts at sundown. Right? So this month is the Day of Atonement. And that's what we're going to read about today. Leviticus 16, 29 to 30. The whole chapter talks about the Day of Atonement. It says, this is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, which is 25th, 26th of this month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or alien living among you, because on this day, atonement, a payment will be made for you to cleanse you. Then, before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. That's the price that Jesus paid. And as I describe this, the ushers are going to come, and they're going to pass out the communion elements this morning. Because as Jesus paid the price, he made atonement for our sins that is described back in the book of Leviticus. Roke, you want to come on up here, bro, and bring those communion elements? And so I'm going to talk while they pass those things out. I'm hoping you're going to be able to keep track of me and them. You can do that, right? Very good. All right. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, goes back 3,500 years, 1,500 years before Christ. The Lord gave the law to Moses. And the high priest, come on up, bro. And go ahead and start passing them out, Johnny and Mike. Go ahead and start passing those out. The high priest would go into the most holy place in the tabernacle, which is the tent, the church tent that they had back in the wilderness after they left Egypt. And they had this great big old fancy tent, and they would have church basically all around it. The whole nation of Israel was basically arrayed all around this church, and their existence was focused on that. One day a year, the high priest would get special garments. They were white linen garments. Aaron, come up here for a second. Now, is that a linen shirt? All right, come up here. See this white shirt? It's just a white cotton shirt. You ladies know about linen, right? White linen kind of shines, right? This, you got ladies going, that ain't more like white linen. All right, and so go ahead. But it was white like that. And he would wear white underwear. And he would have white sashes. Everything would be white. And the nearest thing that I could kind of think of that would help you picture this is a bride, right? You got the white everywhere, right? You got white lace. You got white little head thing. You got white whatever that thing is around her arms. What do you call that, like a shawl or something? It's all white, right? And that's what, thank you, gentlemen. And that's what this priest would be wrapped up in, okay, and it was the high holy day, and they would, on the Day of Atonement, would come, and everybody would be arrayed, and he would be dressed up in incredibly white splendor, and then he would sacrifice a bull. That's actually a pig. But what they're doing with this bucket is collecting the blood. And that's what the priest would have to do. Now, how's this for a contrast? Here's this guy, right? Totally dressed in white. And he has to sacrifice a bull. A tad of a messy job. Amen? All right, so then he's going to catch the blood. He's got to go into the tabernacle and actually right into the most holy place, which was cordoned off, and you could only go in one day a year, only the high priest, one day a year on the Day of Atonement, and he would sprinkle the blood that they're catching right there on the ground before the Ark of the Covenant, you know, Indiana Jones and all that kind of stuff, the Ark of the Covenant, right? And they actually, before that, he would take and he would put some on the horns of the ark. And that was to make a payment. That was to make an atonement for his sin and for the sin of his family. A bull. Okay? He'd go in. Then he would come out and there would be two lambs. And they would draw lots on the lambs. And one lamb would be let go. And the other one he would sacrifice again. Now, can you imagine if that bride was slaughtering that pig, do you think her dress might not be quite as white, right? And carrying the blood and splattering around like that. And what is she going to have? She's going to have flecks of blood. Sometimes you see, I don't know, they usually take pretty good care. You know, maybe at the end of the wedding ceremony or the reception, they got some chicken on their dress, or they got if their husband pushed that cake in their face, they got some cake on their dress, you know? But normally they're trying to be real clean, right? Can you imagine, though, what that high priest looked like with flecks of blood? Because the blood pays for what? Sin. And so here's the display of sin all over him. Still trying to be white, still trying to be pure, still trying to be holy, but sin all over him. And he comes out, and then he slaughters that lamb and collects that blood just like that. And he has to go back into the most holy place and go before the Ark of the Covenant. And he sprinkles then on the Ark of the Covenant, on the horns of the Ark, blood to pay for the sins of Israel. And then he sprinkles on the ground before the Ark, blood to pay for the sins of Israel. That's the Day of Atonement. He said, I got it right here. He said, on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then, before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus not only was the sacrifice, not only hung on the cross, but the writer of Hebrews tells us that he is our great high priest and that he had to make no sacrifice for his own sins. And that he walked into that most holy place, which was not a tent that was moved around in the desert, that was not a temple that was made by Herod, but he walks right into the temple, the throne room of God. And he brings a sacrifice, which is himself. And he says, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. But I'll make a payment, because they're believing the lie. Because they do not yet understand the truth, they grab on to the lie in their life, and they try to make it work, and they're messing things up over and over again. And I will make the payment for them. And as he makes the payment for you, and as you come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior before God, you are cleansed from all your sins. That was Jesus' work on the cross. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. We thank you, Lord. We come before you this morning, Lord, knowing, Lord, that deep down we are liars. Lord, that we buy the lie and we try to cover up our lies and we try to make the lies work. And Lord, from heaven, Lord, that you sent your Son, Lord, to give us an avenue of escape from the lies of this world. And that escape required his body and his blood be shed for me. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that he gave his body. And as you would just hold up that bread, say, Lord, if you would just say a little prayer, say, Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. You can just speak that out right now. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you cleanse me, Lord, that you went to the cross for me, Lord, that you go into the most holy place, Lord, that you go into the throne room of God. You said, he's with me. He's with me, Father. My payment for him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and this has any effect on you right now, and you're going, man, I am a liar. I do grasp on to the lie of this world, and I spend all my effort trying to cover that and make it work. And you want to make a change right now as you hold this representation of Jesus' body sacrificed on the cross for you. You can say, Lord, I have been such a fool. Lord, I want to know your truth. I want to pursue fullness in my life, Lord, and I make a surrender to you this morning. Most of you in the room have done this. If you do that right now, you now have the avenue paved to those roads of gold that Aaron talked about earlier. Lord, we thank you for your body that was shed for us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Let's partake of the bread of the Lord. The night Jesus was betrayed, he took a cup and he passed it out to his disciples. And he said, in this cup is my blood, which is the new covenant, which is given for the remission, for the removal of your sins. Lord, we thank you for your blood shed on Calvary for me. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let us partake of the cup of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Pass these cups to the aisle and these gentlemen will wait upon you. Are we good? We okay? You got the whole Leviticus thing, the tie? You got that? The whole bride thing? All right. Here we go. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Point number two, God's desire is for you. God's desire is for your fullness and your victory in your life. Amen? So you've been buying this lie and you've been messing yourself up. How many of you messed yourselves up? Oh, man, I messed myself up so good, so often. Now, look at these young people. Not one hand up. They don't know about the lie yet. You don't know how messed up you already are. All these old people, oh, yeah, I'm so messed up. Lord, help me. Said, they asked him, this is Jesus again. We're going through the Gospel of John today, okay? They asked him, the Jews asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Again, Labor Day, a celebration of labor, a celebration of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, amen? And then he talks about, and Aaron talked about the work that we must do. And the Jews said, what is the work we must do? And he said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. Hallelujah. There's stuff that comes after that, but for you to get to those streets of gold, you got to believe. Can I get a witness on that part? Because everyone needs the truth. Everyone needs the truth. These youth need the truth. I need the truth. We all need the truth. And some of us have come to a point in our lives where we realize it a little bit more than the others. Jesus came that we might know the truth. We struggle with truth. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And there's so many of us who would catch a glimpse of truth, who would catch a glimpse of Jesus, and who would catch a glimpse of the Father as we see Jesus and see him right there, just right before us, and take a turn. So I'm not ready for that yet. There he is. I'm going to go this way a little bit. I'm going to play. I can make this work. I can work this out. I can do it on my own. You know what Jesus says? Give it a try. Give it a try. He says, I'll see you later. I'll see you one day. This is a fact that you cannot escape, that the truth of God is the truth of life. You cannot glorify God. You cannot find fullness in your life if you pursue the lie. You can follow the lie, and it will work for you for a little while. Amen? Hey, it's working okay for me now. I'm doing okay. But it's going to catch up with you sooner or later. Amen? See, they know. There was such a graphic display of that this week. I don't know how many of you. I mean, I did not watch the Republican convention much, but I wanted to see Clint, right? And how many of you guys saw Clint talking at the Republican convention? He was not stellar, folks. I mean, man. Most people say, oh, he said good stuff and all that kind of stuff. I'll tell you what. He looked like an old man. He talked like an old man. You know, his life catching up with him. Now, that's not the Clint I was wanting to see. I mean, I wanted to see Clint. You know what I'm saying? You know, and it's such a great picture because, see, man, when you are young, and you got it working, and you got energy, and you got all that stuff, man. You can push the line. You can try to make that work, but the longer, it's going to catch up with you. And sooner or later, You are going to come to realize that the lie does not pay. That it's a ripoff. And that you come and you bend your knee to the Lord.
Amen.
The question is, how stubborn are you? How hard-headed are you? I don't want to lose that $500 motor. The Lord's going, it ain't worth a dime. It's never going to run. They're stuck. That was kind of a Batman sounding God. It really doesn't, the Lord doesn't sound like Batman. But there's stuff in your life. It's never going to work. You're holding on. It is like an anchor in your life. You got to let it go. You got to find new fullness in God. You got to find a way. Surrender the lie and find the truth of God. Because you'll discover it one day. Jesus wants you to know the truth. John chapter 20, key verses of John. You want to know all about John? You read this right here. These are key verses of John. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples. They didn't even write them down. Said, these are not recorded in, actually, you might have read it in the other gospels. These are not recorded in this book, but these are written. This gospel of John is written. These seven miracles that are focused on in the gospel of John are written for one reason. That you might believe, that you might surrender the lie and grab onto the truth, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. Amen. That's why Jesus came. That was the work of Jesus, that you might understand the truth and surrender the lie that is bringing destruction to your life. Jesus came and God is looking at your response. There's a day coming, there's a question going to be asked. What did you do with my son? He came and revealed truth to you. Some of you have responded to that truth. Some of you are on your way to fullness of life. And some of you are still crippled by the lie of this world. What did you do with my son? Because God calls you to truth. John chapter 6, 44 through 47. Jesus talking, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You can't get there on your own, folks. You won't get there on your own. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'm going to raise him up on that last day. You want to make that raised up part. That's what we're working on. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who's from God. Only he has seen the Father, and I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. That's what we're talking about, because there is going to be a day of reckoning. There is going to be a day when you're going to find out whether or not that motor's worth $500 or not. There's going to be a day when you understand whether or not your lie worked out or not. Clint Eastwood found out, everybody who was banking on Clint this week found out that, hey, Clint's an old man. Clint ain't getting to heaven by his dirty, hairy demeanor. Nobody gets to heaven on their own. Everybody needs some help. Amen? You come to an understanding, Lord, I'm so messed up. He says, man, I was hoping you were going to figure that out. I sent my son to save you. See, we're all wired for the lie. The lie looks so good. And the only way you get away from the lie is from the power of God. God whispers in your ear, you're on the wrong path. You're headed for destruction. And it's not just you, it's those people around you. And you're having some impact on the people around you, and you're leading them to destruction as well. Talked about that last week. Don't cause these little ones of mine to sin. Better to have a millstone tied around your neck than to do that. It says there's going to be a day to pay. We call that day Judgment Day. And you will stand into the very throne, enter into the throne room of God, and the books of your life will be opened. And there's going to be a little cash register receipt. Payment required, payment required, payment required, payment required. And you can pay. You can make that payment. It will cost you your life, and you will suffer eternal damnation. Because the wages of sin is death. The cost of your sin, the price of your sin, is your life for eternity. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus takes that paid in full. Bam! Say, Dad, he's with me. I paid his account off. And that's what it means to have everlasting life. Now, some of you are going, how do I know? How do I know? The people that have made that change, who have gone from the wide way that leads to destruction to the narrow way that leads to victory and eternal life, they know now. You can see it in them. They're pursuing truth. They're discarding lie after lie after lie. If you're battling to hold on to the lie in your life right now, you got to be worried about Judgment Day. You know, Joe came home last night, and he said, Dad, that wasn't even hard. He did say he fell, you know, right there at the bottom. I wasn't going to mention that, but he did tell me that this morning. He said, Dad, I wasn't even breathing hard. You know what? He's playing football. He says, you know, Dad, the warm-ups for the football game are harder than Cal's Mountain was. I didn't even sweat, Dad. It was so easy. And you know what? When you get to Judgment Day, you're going to feel like that. You know why? Because you're dealing with your drama. You are dealing with your lie right now. And you're knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saying, oh, Lord, I'm buying another life. He says, oh, I know. You got about 5,000 more we're going to be working on in the coming years. But we're working on one today. And as you are working through it over and over and over again, you're going to end up with an intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. And on Judgment Day, you're going to walk in there and you're just going to be looking for Jesus. Where's Jesus? Because I know he's there for me because I've been living for him all my whole life. Does that make sense? Amen. Joe came in, man, and say, hey, I was ready. Don't go to Judgment Day like Aaron. I mean, Aaron's going to make Judgment Day good. But he was sweating Cal's Mountain. I don't know. You don't got to sweat Judgment Day. You can know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. How are you going to know it? Because you're dealing with him day in and day out. What's a lie you're grabbing onto? What's a lie you're trying to make work? What's the lie you're trying to save in your life today? Don't try and save the lie. You can't save it. He says, you come to me, my son. You come to me, my child. And I'll raise you up on that last day. Amen? All right, I got to go. I'm long. Are we okay? Joe wants to go shopping. You see that? Yeah, he's got a little shopping trip. All right. Opportunities for glory. All right, we're gonna go quick. Did I start late? No, I'm just long. All right. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? Because this guy is messed up. And he is obviously under the judgment of God. No. Jesus said, that's not what's going on at all. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Jesus said, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. What do you got going on in your life? I didn't mention it, but you need to pray for Belteshazzar. He's in the hospital today, and he's got that severe pain that he's always had, and muscle spasms, all that kind of stuff. And he is looking at right now going into an assisted living place where he can get some rehab and get well. Amen? The stuff he's struggling from is a 20-year-old work injury where he injured his back and a workman's comp and all this kind of stuff. And he's been struggling with that for 20 years. Right? And you look at this guy, blind guy, born blind. You know, he didn't say he was Chuck or Fred or Josephus or whoever his name might have been. No, he was the blind guy. And you know, sometimes our issues in our lives define us. You know, like you look at Belteshazzar in the chair. Oh, who's Belteshazzar? Oh, he's the guy in the chair. The big guy in the chair. You know, I'd love to one day have him be, oh, yeah, he's the guy who used to be in the chair. Amen? And the blind man, who used to be the blind man, right? Who sinned, this guy or his father? Neither one. But you are surrounded by all this crud, on this planet, you are surrounded by all these lies. Why? So that my Father in heaven might be glorified in your life. What drama do you have going on around you right now? What job do you need? What situation do we fix in your home, at your workplace, at your school? It is an opportunity for God to be glorified in your life. Amen? You know, I started talking to some people about wanting to see God do miracles among us. Well, I'll tell you what, for God to do miracles, there's got to be a need for miracles. Amen? And all of a sudden, man, drama starts popping up. Whoa, we got some drama. And that drama is an opportunity for God to be glorified in your life. I'll tell you, man, there's some testimonies going around. New jobs, new opportunities, new cars, all kinds of good stuff. Because I'll tell you what, God to do a miracle in your life, you got to be out there on the edge. Amen? You got to be out there leaning on God. Oh, God, I am believing you. Amen. All right. Last point we're going to take a look at. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. That's Jesus talking. Anybody who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Do you do what Jesus did? Think, wait, that's Jesus. I can't do what he did. He says, he will, who? The one who has faith in him. He will do even greater things than these. Jesus raised people from the dead. You believe in Jesus, you can do greater things than this. Why don't we see it? I want to see it, folks. Because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Joe is showing a picture of a chrome Ferrari. Lamborghini on the way in. Oh, God, I could glorify you with a chrome Lamborghini. I think from heaven he's saying, that's not the glory I'm looking for from you. Oh, amen? He says, I'm going to do whatever you will ask in my name so that the Son might bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Our lives are on display. Our lives are intended to bring glory to God. And if you are living on that lie, if you are grasping onto that lie, there is no way you will ever bring glory to God. Amen? You want to chuck that lie off to the side and say, God, I am trusting you. You got now an opportunity to bring glory to our Father in heaven. How many of you have come out of darkness and into light and give glory to God? Amen? Now, how many of us want to continue to do that? Move into that. Find greater fullness. Find greater glory for God. Because Jesus says there is no limit. Whatever you want. Just so long as your focus is on glorifying my Father. How does he glorify his Father? He does it through this word. And he does it through you. I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. You ever wonder why God just doesn't take hell out of the way? God, it's so hard down here. We got the devil, we got demons, we got hell, all this kind of stuff. He says, hey, look, they are just there for you to whoop on. Amen? I'll tell you what, Joe, they whooped, what was the score? 34 zip. That team from Mountain Empire up Pine Valley, guess what? They showed up to get whooped on. There wouldn't have been no whooping. There would have been no victory if that team did not show up. The devil is there. Now, the devil is smart. The devil is a worthy adversary. But it is not. The Hades will not prevail against the church. We get a grip on that. I don't know what lie you're grabbing. The lie of the devil is tripping you up, and it is there for you to have victory. And instead of whooping on it and stepping on it, you embrace it, and you kiss it, and you love it, and you try to save it. And it's dragging you to hell. Dad's up there going, toss it aside, son. Find the victory, daughter. Come to me. You're on the wrong path. All the rocks going up Cowles Mountain. Obstacles to overcome. There's some that stop climbing because the mountains, the rocks are too big. Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. That up there on Cal's Mountain, the moon came up and it was behind the clouds and broke free from the clouds. It was just a brilliant disc of light. And so the Lord would have you be a brilliant, shining light to the people around you. Who do you know that needs some truth? You can be a light. Jesus says, I'll do whatever you ask. Have you asked him, who around me needs me to be Jesus to them? You can be a living word. You can be a living testimony to the power of God in your life. Have you asked Jesus, who around me needs your touch? Have you asked him, Lord, what do I need to get rid of? Lisa, you want to come up and play? Work of truth. Right now, the Lord is speaking to hearts here. You're saying there's a big rock in front of you and you're stopped. You're never going to make it to the top. I love you. I care for you. But you're not getting anything done. You're not even making any progress. You're just stopped right in front of this big rock. Some of you start painting little designs on that rock, making it look nice. I love my rock. I love my lie. And he's saying, you'll never glorify me as long as you love the lie. Lord, we come before you this morning, and Lord, there could be some here this morning, Lord, that have never yet said yes to you. And today you whisper to them, you're on the wrong path. Jesus says, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. And this morning, the Father in heaven is saying, you need my Son. Not yet done that before. And nobody's looking around, but God is speaking to your heart. And he's saying, this is for you this morning. There's a way to acknowledge him. Nobody looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you, but you would just say, oh, Lord, I feel so foolish. I thank you for awakening me to the sin in my life, to the error in my life. Lord, I want to know you as my Savior. On Judgment Day, I want to be looking for you with a smile on my face, knowing I'm going to spend eternity with you. Nobody's looking around. I'm going to talk about that lie in a second. But this morning, God is telling you, it is time to come to know my Son as your Savior. If you've not done that before, and you want to do that this morning, there's just a new revelation in your heart. Oh, Lord, I want a brand new beginning. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord's speaking in your heart. I want you to slide your hand up. Say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Right there. Somebody else say, that's me. Right back there. Somebody else will say, that's me. Right over here, hallelujah, back here, yes. Anybody else? Say, that's me.